Hear now the familiar words of the Christmas story as taken from the account of Luke 2. We read from the King James Version. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to be registered, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thanks be to God. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thanks be to God. There's one verse probably that often stands out in your mind when you hear the Christmas story, that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I'm sure there are other verses too, but that one seems to often strike us a little bit differently. The Greek word there for pondering something literally means to have a variety of ideas and thoughts and throw them into one ball, to put them into one unit and consider them. President Richard Nixon once said that one of the great lost arts in the United States is having time to think. And isn't that the case? Sometimes I think that when I was a little child, I probably thought and just took time to think and ponder things more than I do as an adult. I think the busier we get in life, maybe the less time we take to actually think and ponder. I can imagine young Mary growing up in Nazareth and maybe with some friends out in a field, lying down, looking up at the clouds and just pondering and thinking about life and about God. Who is this being up there? Who is this great God? What does he think of me? People often attempt on their own to ponder who God is and come up with their own ideas. There are probably tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of religions that have been established through the years and various deities and gods that people have come up with. And when mankind is left to his own imagination and devices in pondering the greatness of God, he's going to go all over the place with different ideas. What does this being exist of? What does this being think of me? Well, God doesn't want your pondering and contemplation about who he is or what he thinks of you. He doesn't want that just to be left to your own imagination and your own thoughts. And that's what Christmas is all about. God wants you to know very concretely and tangibly who he is and what he thinks of you and what your relationship to him is all about and what that means especially for your future. It's interesting when a young couple has a new baby that's born into their family, and the first Sunday that baby gets brought to church, it's interesting to see how everybody gathers around to see that new little baby. We just had one born in my family. I haven't met him yet. And we're all waiting to finally meet little Caleb face to face and so on. It's interesting how a baby has a different drawing power, if you will, than adults do, or even a grown-up or a child, and so on. But the younger a child is, the more we're drawn to the side. They're so approachable. A child is so irresistible in a way. And to think that this is the way that God chose to enter your world as far as how you and I should know him. Think of all the things he could have picked, all the ways that God could have had in his palette to choose from as to how he would come into the world, but instead he chooses to do it in a lowly barn with animals around, with this humble couple, and to have himself enter the world as a little infant, as approachable and friendly as you're ever going to get. God doesn't want our thoughts wandering all over, pondering, and possibly being afraid of who he really is and what he thinks of us. He has chosen instead to make it very clear how he wants us to know him and where he wants us to know him. During the process of mediation, it's important that if two parties are going to be brought together, that whoever represents the mediation process know both sides. In when Major League Baseball players have to work out a contract with owners, the mediator is often somebody who has himself been a player, but at the same time has a business sense and background, and maybe even work in the law. And so it is when it comes to this great separation between us and God, when the time has come to mediate the gap between sinful people like us and this holy, just God. It could only take one specific type of mediator who could relate to both sides, who is truly human as much as you and I are, except was without sin, and at the same time was completely and fully God, so that the process of bringing us together and redeeming us and restoring that important relationship could be accomplished. God didn't take this action to save his angels who had fallen. He did not take this action to save the animal kingdom that has fallen. He did not take this action even to save the planets and the stars and the universe. But you personally were of such high value in the eye of God that this is the action that he took. So in this Christmas season, with all the other things going on, let us make sure we take time with the Word of God to ponder anew what God thinks of us. What greater value could God have put on your head than to send his own Son to bring you to him? Amen. Let us pray. Please rise. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in this Christmas season we are reminded of your marvelous grace toward us in Christ. Stir up our hearts in true and sincere faith to be brought to the manger of our Lord and to ponder again your marvelous grace to us. Grant all of us safe journeys now as we return to our homes, and we thank and praise you for the blessings you have showered down upon us in this year past, and may we enter the new year with your name on our lips. We ask it all in the name of Christ our Redeemer. Amen. Amen.